My mother told him. He got his divorce 3 times. She said, don't be blaming on the women. You better do an inventory check if you can't find 3 women that like you.
Come on,
this woman had a problem. She had a man problem. She couldn't keep her things straight. She couldn't be settled with one man. So she kept switching around. But Jesus fixed that issue.
Yes, he did.
No matter what you're facing, Jesus will fix the issue you're facing. There's nothing too big for him. He's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. He can fix your issues.
Amen.
So you can't do it. You can't do it. You've tried. You've tried every issue you can find. You've tried to fix the problems. But you can't. You know you can't. Everybody else knows you can't.
That's right. There you am.
You ain't got nobody fooled. We all see the problem that you're facing. You're going home. Your spouse is in it. Your dog sees it. Everybody knows it's problem. Only God can fix it.
Yes.
We're moving on.
Good stuff. In Mark chapter 2, let me read this. Mark chapter 2, verse 17 says, and when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick.
Right, come on, Jay.
I come not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. You know what that means?
God can't fix you unless you're broke.
That's right, preacher. Come on.
I'm glad I was broke one time.
Yep.
I'm still financially broke. But I'm glad at one time my life was in shatters and in shambles. It was just torn out of pieces. You know what? Sickness has got to be present before healing can take place.
That's right, preacher. Come on, tell us.
Lives have got to be broken before they can be restored.
Yes.
You got to be weak before God can make you strong.
Yes.
You know, my few favorite words in the Bible is it came to pass.
Yeah, it came to pass.
Whatever you're facing right now, it didn't come to stay. It came to pass.
Yeah.
If you got arthritis in your joints, it'll pass or you'll pass. If you've got muscles in your earlobes, you're some men that aren't on plastic. Going on a few weeks back, and I worked downtown at Nationwide. And you ought to see me. Some of you guys see me. Almost as big as me. I mean, they had muscles on top of muscles. They asked me how I done it. I wouldn't share a secret. They had muscles everywhere, man. You know what? They were nothing without Jesus. They ain't nothing without Jesus.
Amen. Come on, Jay. Come on.
You got muscles in your earlobes. You got to know somebody's got muscles everywhere. You got muscles everywhere. Some people got muscles in the earlobes, your pinky finger. You better enjoy it in the past.
Yes, you will, brother.
Yeah, will. My dad just had all these muscles. He still got them. They fell down his pants. He still got muscles that slipped out of his bed.
Whatever you're facing, it'll pass. The next stone he looked at was in John chapter 8. The stones in the temple court. This verse right here talks about his forgiveness. In John chapter 8, verse 7 says, when they were continued asking, they lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her.
Here again, these stones talk about his forgiveness.
Yes, they do.
You know what? We've all sinned. Every one of us. That don't mean we have to continue. You know what I like so much about that word? I was talking to Becky the other day on the phone back. Is the word have sinned. Got an ED on it. It means it can be in the past.
Yes, it can.
You don't have to continue in sin.
No, you don't.
I like that. That excites me to know that the Bible says that my sins are cast as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
You know what's so special about that? I talked about this a few weeks back. If you get in your car and start driving north, go up through Canada. First of all, if you go through Canada, I'm going to go with you. But you go up, if you keep going north and north, won't be long you'll start going south.
That's right, brother.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
And then you go south, you start going north. Do you know what? You go east.
Yeah.
You keep going east. No matter how far you'll go east. You'll never start going west if you turn around.
That's right, brother.
So I'm glad he didn't throw his first and this one went, this one's out. That would be too good with him. But he cast his word that he sits from the bridge, never to be remembered again.
That's right.
The problems you're facing right now, if it's under the blood, you get back. God already has. And if you've been saved, if you've been redeemed, that means a sin is no longer with God. You can be talking about something. You know, the hardest thing is for us to forgive ourselves. But what have we done?
That's right.
We want to keep remembering, I done that last week. That's just bad. God, the priest said, what you talking about?
Yeah, come on.
That's what's good. If God can forget about it, why can't we? Why can't we move on past the sin? Why do we have to dwell in the sin that we've had? Why do we have to dwell in the heartbreak and the shame?
But he said, one other part of that verse, of that passage of Scripture, talks about him bending over and writing.
He bent over and started writing into the ground. Bible doesn't say what he's writing, but I like to think that maybe he was writing all the men that she'd been with. All you, everybody here, if anybody here not sin, well, so I give you permission. But we've all made mistakes. So you can look at your neighbor right now and say, you're no worse than me. We've all made mistakes.
Yep.
You know the only difference between me and a sinner? I come to Jesus.
That's right.
You know the only difference between you and somebody else? The blood of Calvary. Jesus loves you. He wants to make a difference in your life. He wants to fix the problem. That's what he's about. He loves that. Mm-hmm. That's the reason. Just last night I was talking to a sister that we were talking about coming to sunrise service. And I said, you know, I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't want to get up that time more. I ain't gonna lie to you. I think if God wants me to see the sunrise, he'll put it in the middle of the day. I don't like mornings. Never have, never will. Do you know what? I said, but I'm going to go.
Yes.
And she said, Mary, no, Jesus. Jesus died on Calvary. And he didn't want to.
That's right, come
on. He spent some time in the garden crying, saying, God, is there another way? I don't want to do this. Do you know something he does want to do? He wants to love you.
Yes, he does.
And he wants that blood of Calvary to be applied to your life. He don't want what he done to go in vain in your life. He don't want you to walk away from him.
The next stone, moving on. I'm almost done here. In John chapter 11.
Yes, that's a good one.
Stones at the tomb of Lazarus. Verse 39, starting there, it says, and Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha. The sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, and he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hast heard us be always, but because of the people which stand by, that I say this, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. That talks about his power. Anything you face, church,
you may be living in the depth of sin. You may be dead in your sins. You may not think there's any help for you. You may not think there's any hope for you. But you may think you've done too many bad things in life. But the power that Jesus gives you to overcome the stones in your life, he will look at your situation. When you come down to Jesus, he will look at the situation and he'll say, loose him and let him go. Take away those chains that bound him. Take away the grave clothes.
power in the stone at the tomb of Lazarus. Power in the stone that we face every day. He has the power to raise someone physically dead, and he also has the power to raise somebody spiritually dead. You know, I've been in some churches. Let's just be.
Yes, come on.
There's a story told about a man that had a heart attack in church and died. And they called him. They called the ambulance. The ambulance came and took four people out when they got the right person. There's nobody to do it. They come into church like I've done it on a paper.
Yeah, come on.
Here I am, Lord bless me.
Yes.
I'm just going to stay here. Let everybody else do the work. Honey, what are we going to do for lunch? They put nothing in the service.
Bless you, brother. Come on.
Something. You know what you're going to get out of church? Exactly what you put in.
Amen.
Come. Some people may come to churches bored. You know why? Because you're bored.
That's true, brother. Come on.
Sometimes I have to. If I go to somebody's house and it's boring, I want to be the life of the party. I want to make sure everybody there knows who I am.
Yes, come on.
They may not like me when it's over, but they ain't going to think I'm dead.
That's right.
Sometimes we go out to eat on Sunday afternoon, and I don't think there's a restaurant in Columbus that don't know about us.
Yes, amen.
It's different when we leave. He can take a life that's ruined and wrecked by sin and make it completely whole again. Let's look at one more. Take that back. Let's look at some more. Luke chapter 19. I won't have everybody. I've only got like 10 more pages of notes here. Luke chapter 19 and verse 40 talks about the stones around Jerusalem. They talk about His glory. Listen to this. And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these stones hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out.
Yes.
Here, Jesus was being praised and glorified by some righteous people. But some other people got upset over it. And Jesus said, don't stop them from praising me. Or the rocks is going to start praising me. Jesus, God's going to get His praise. And I don't want no rocks to cry out my place. I've got too big of a mouth for that to happen.
That's right. Come on, Jerry.
That's not the time. Don't be telling me I got a big mouth. But I got a big mouth.
It's all right, Jerry. Come on, tell us.
You know what? When I have a big mouth, you know what's so good about that is? That's more to praise God.
That's right, brother. Come on.
I don't just praise God by singing and preaching. I live it in my everyday life. And I love to have, I like to pull from some people. Just the other day, I was nationwide. And I went out, one of my co-workers left the keys on the desk. I went out and moved the car to the other side of the street. To my knowledge, she's still looking for a car. You know what? If we don't praise God, somebody's going to.
That's right, preacher.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right.
You know what? And I don't want to be the one sitting in the back pew wondering why everybody else is being touched. Yeah. I don't want to be the one sitting back wondering why everybody else is getting the blessing that I'm sitting there not feeling the thing. Sometimes we gotta move for God, expect God to move for us.
That's right, preacher.
Amen.
You ever seen a day of God's never talking to you? Have you ever talked to Him? Sometimes the reason we don't ever hear God talking to us is because we're too busy running our own mouths. I've been guilty of that a lot of times. I know y'all find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just got to shut up and let God talk. His praises is going to happen, church. The next stone. I'm moving right along. In Luke chapter 22. Verse 41, the stones in Gethsemane talks about His agony. Verse 41 says, and He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and nailed down and prayed. Going on, talks about Him praying so hard that His sweat became His blood.
You know what? He done that because he loved us.
Yes, you did, preacher.
He done that because he don't want you to go to hell. Let me tell you something. Hell was created for the devil, not for you.
That's right.
You can ask us, why does God send people to hell? First of all, he doesn't. Second of all, you choose it.
That's right, preacher.
Let me break something down for you. There's a lot of confusion here about why loving God will allow that to happen. I'll tell you why he allows that to happen. Because he loves you. That's even more confusing. Let me break that down for you a little more. He loves you so much, he'll let you choose. You know what? If you're sitting there today, you've got a sweetheart, you've got a wife, girlfriend, I hope you don't have both, but if you've got a wife, a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, whatever it is, and you love that person with all your heart, I mean, they make your liver quiver. I mean, you just love them. They put a spider in your bladder. I mean, they're good to you. You love them. You love being around them. You love the time you spend with them. But you know what? If you didn't have a choice, would it really be love? No. If they forced you to love them, if they held a gun to your head every day, and you don't love me, you wouldn't really love them. That's what God is. God says, I want you to choose to love me. And that makes it all the better. He loves me so much, he'll let me do whatever I want to. But there's consequences. Just like growing up. When you're growing up, if you grew up in a decent family, listen, I wish everybody did, but not all parents are good. We know that. But you know, I grew up in a good Christian home, and my dad loved me so much.
Yes.
He just loved me beyond belief. Loved me more than I deserved. Do you know what? He had rules. These are the rules of this house. And I love you, boy. But if you can't abide by these rules, you find another place to live.
Right.
That's what God did. God said, these are the rules. I want you to stay. As long as you're here, as long as you're here with me, I'll take care of it. I'll fight for you. Nobody's going to get into you. The thief is not going to break in and try to kill you. Nothing's going to stop you. You stay here. You'll be protected. But if you don't, I can protect you out in the world.
That's right, preacher.
I can't protect you. I can't protect you if you all do what you want to do. I can only do that if you stay with me. Man, I can remember. I'll say this and I'll be closing. My token church is this. I remember back when I was in junior high. Oh, wonderful story. We went to see my sister play basketball at high school. And she was wonderful basketball. And I was young and wanted to run around and the kids. And we had just moved to this new city. And we were there. And I went down to the concession stand and went around with a bunch of kids that I had just met. This one boy come up to me and started picking a fight with me. He was a little bit bigger than me. I know y'all find that hard to believe. But he was a little bit bigger than me. He come running up, said, call me a few choice names of his choosing, not mine. And he started pushing me around. Big boy. And I was brave, but not that brave. And he said, I'm going to go back and tell my dad you called me some names. And he ran back to his dad, I ran back to my dad. And I sat down, and I told Dad what happened. He said, you sit right by me. But long, a few minutes later in the ball game, Dad leaned over and got a dollar out of his pocket. And he said, go get me a bag of popcorn. And I said, Daddy, I just told you what this boy done. I just told you he's going to go back and tell his daddy. He said, I'm your daddy. Go get me a bag of popcorn. Dad doesn't know what to do. He don't want no popcorn. He ain't need no popcorn. He ain't got no teeth. He would kill me without the teeth. I told him. So I went and I get him a bag of popcorn. I'm sitting there, my head's knocking. I'm scared dead. I get that bag of popcorn and I turn around and there stands that man. He got down on one knee and started poking me in the chest. Calling me everything he could think of. Mad that I had called his boy's name. I didn't say a word. And I was scared, tears dripping off my chin. I was shaking, popcorn everywhere. And he kept talking. Finally, I hear a voice. Says, that's my son. Step away from my son.
Yes.
You're not going to touch my son. You don't have to go through me to mess with my son. I got a little break. Come on! Look like, come on! Because my daddy's on the scene.
Praise you, Dad.
Let me tell you, when you're facing the enemy, when you're facing Satan, and you're walking with God, God will protect you.
Yes,
He'll be right there in the midst of your problems. No matter what the devil says to you, he cannot mess with a child of God.
Amen.
He cannot mess with somebody that's under the blood of Calvary. He cannot mess with one of God's children. Because God will step on the scene.
Yes, He will. Come on.
It's a good step. Ruby, come on the piano.